Sue Halpern has written for publications ranging from the New York Times Magazine to the New Yorker and has authored 5 critically acclaimed books on subjects ranging from butterflies to privacy. Her last book on memory and aging was called Fascinating, Enlightening, and Fabulously Well-Written. While pursuing this prolific and diverse writing career, she cultivated a deep and loving relationship with her dog, Pransky. And when she saw that Pransky had grown into a bored adolescent, she knew just what she needed, and that is a job. So in her new book, A Dog Walks Into a Nursing Home, Lessons in the Good Life from an Unlikely Teacher, Sue Halpern uses her knowledge and varied background, which includes a doctorate from Oxford and work in prisons and hospitals, to write about the pair's experiences as a therapy dog team who find meaning and pleasure volunteering in a public nursing home. It's a great pleasure to welcome Sue Halpern back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. It's always fun.
Delight to have you. I love this book. It is, it's a wonderful, the fascinating thing about this is that, of how this dawned on you. Give us a sense of at what point you started to think that your dog needed a job.
You know, I spent a lot of time sitting at my computer and by myself, and the dog would often either be kind of right behind me or she would be somewhere in the house, anywhere really. And as soon as she heard me rustle, you know, like I might stand up from my desk, she would just like immediately be there right by my side, sort of saying, you know, Pransky, reporting for duty. And unfortunately, there was no duty to report for. And it just became clearer and clearer that she was just kind of bored. And she wasn't the kind of bored dog that it was destructive, not at all. It was more like the bored dog that kind of looks at you, like asking you, imploring you, like, okay, when's it going to happen, whatever it is. And I'd kind of think, what is it?
And did you have in mind that Pransky was particularly, like, I have a Labrador Retriever, and we consider that a working dog, or a sheepdog, or a Border Collie, that are quote unquote working dogs. What is Pransky?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. I like to call her a high class mutt. Her mother was a lab, and her father was a poodle, which some people call a labradoodle, and sometimes I do too, but she's not really a labradoodle because she is what's called a first cross, so she's really a hybrid dog of these two different species, or different, I don't know what you call them, but different models of canine, and so I sometimes call her a labradoodle, sometimes I call her a high-class mutt, and sometimes I just say she's a lab mix. It's a little unclear.
So there is some working dog in her, then?
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely working dog in her. And in fact, the first labradoodle, who was also a first cross like she is, was bred specifically to become a service dog for someone who had very severe allergies. And because when they breed the poodle and the lab together, if you know, all goes well, which it doesn't always, you get a dog that doesn't shed. And since there are a lot of people who need seeing eye dogs or other kind of, you know, service dogs who have allergies, this was a great, you know, accomplishment to be able to do that.
As I mentioned, the subtitle was Lessons in the Good Life from an Unlikely Teacher. One of the things I love in the book is how you frame it, and you look at those classic virtues, everything from faith, prudence, restraint, fortitude, hope, love, charity. At what point in telling the story did you latch on to that?
You know, I didn't go to the nursing home to write a book. I really started this adventure with the dog to have the adventure with the dog. And while I was there, probably somewhere after about a year of being there, I just started to ask myself, what's the story here? What am I learning? And, you know, at first I thought I was going to go there and maybe it would be kind of like Tuesdays with Maury, you know, how, you know, like you find some very wise old person who kind of tells you the meaning of life. But a nursing home isn't like that at all. And And so I kind of started questioning, you know, what it was that I was learning. And I realized that the things I was learning were those very, very big things that encompass or are encompassed by the virtues. And because it's really, really hard to be in a place where people are very sick and frail and old and near death and dying and not sort of end up asking yourself the big questions. And so before I ever sat down to write, I had already sort of thought about the fact that this was how this story was sort of organizing itself. I think a lot of times stories tell themselves, and this was kind of how this story told itself. I mean, it really just seemed like that was the correct framework because those were the big issues that arise in that setting.
I was struck by the introduction, the conclusion of the introduction, in which people were asking you what the new book was about, and you kept on saying either old people and dogs or moral philosophy and dogs. And then you write, I realized that every one of those descriptions was wrong. I was saying dogs, plural, when it was actually about one singular, faithful, charitable, loving, and sometimes prudent dog. And I assume that's a turning point, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is about this journey that I have taken with my dog. And yet, at the same time, I think there's a lot of universality there. One of the things a dog does when you go into a place like a nursing home is sort of give you access both to the people who are there and in a lot of ways to your own emotions. But for me, the dog was kind of a ticket into a world that I didn't really know a whole lot about. And I certainly, probably like most people, avoided knowing anything about. And yet, in the end, you know, I'm very grateful for the dog, you know, taking me there. I mean, obviously, I drove her there, and I trained
right.
her. But if it weren't for her, sort of saying, you know, like, let's do something, then I wouldn't have had access to that world. And I'm really grateful that I did and that I still do. I was just there this morning.
When you look at the stories that you tell in the book, there's a chapter on fortitude, and you talk about Pransky getting sick. And it is that very helpless, weird feeling we have when our pets get sick, which is different than when children get sick, although it is a very powerful feeling. But also the impact that it had on your working relationship.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because I never really thought about the dog getting sick. Our dog is very, very hardy. She's a phenomenal athlete, and she just always seemed, you know, very, very sturdy. And she did get sick. She ate some bad dog food and got a terrible GI bleed, and it was just so frightening. And I really thought she was not just going to die, you know, eventually. I thought she was going to die, like, within hours of this event. And yet, at the same time it was happening, we were supposed to be at the nursing home right then. And then suddenly it was like the dog was like the people in the nursing home. I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, there are a lot of people in the nursing home who are who've had strokes, who can't really express themselves in a coherent way. And it was a little bit the same way with the dog and this feeling of just complete and utter helplessness. And then we couldn't go. She was so sick, we couldn't go back for weeks and weeks. And she missed it, and I missed it, and a lot of people there missed her. And she was greeted very, very happily when she finally made her triumphant return.
Talk a little bit about what the importance is to the patients, consciously and either subconsciously, of having that dog there.
Well, you know, the first thing is that when you're in the bed in a nursing home or in your wheelchair, whatever, I mean, typically you're living a life that is fairly non-physical. You know how people talk about, you know, the healing power of touch and the laying on of hands, and we all know that that is an incredibly helpful thing that that we can give each other. But a lot of times that doesn't happen. In a nursing home, it often doesn't happen a lot. I mean, someone might come and, you know, give you a shot or, you know, give you some medicine or something. But typically, you know, the whole, you know, physical world is somewhat sort of removed. And the dog is a warm body. She's, you know, people touch her. She touches them. I mean, there's a physiological response, you know, that's real. But there's also just this sense of reconnecting with a warm body. And there's also this sense, I think, for a lot of the people where I am, which is in Vermont, a lot of people who are in the nursing home grew up on farms. And a lot of people, if they didn't grow up on farms, grew up with animals. And the dog is like a conduit to the past. You know, today I was talking to a guy who... is in the dementia wing, and the dog shows up, and he was pretty quiet. I mean, he really wasn't talking very much, but then he started to pet the dog, and then he started to tell me about his hunting dogs, and he could tell me their names, and he could tell me, you know, a lot. He told me hunting stories from, you know, way back. He was probably in his late 80s. And so the dog provides this kind of unlocking mechanism to bring people sort of back into their lives. And become kind of connected in that way.
There's a point to the book where you basically say, you know, here you lay out the case of here are all the wonderful things that this dog has done. Here are all the wonderful things this dog has done for people. Here's all the wonderful things this dog has done for you. And this is this relationship. This is this bond. And yet the dog could care less.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little unclear. The dog, there are moments when I know the dog is fully conscious of what she's doing. And those moments are typically when someone is really, really sick. And the few times that we have been in the presence of people who are actively dying. And the dog knows precisely what to do. And she knows where she is. And she knows what she can't do. And it's really very moving to watch. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, there's just a complete intuitive understanding of what is necessary in a way that humans don't have.
Right.
And so there's that. And then there's, you know, and then there's this sort of, you know, everyday goofy, let's go visit the people in the nursing home. Maybe they'll give me something to eat. I hope so. You know, that's, I can see her, you know, eyeing, there are a couple of people there who she just, you know, she knows they have dog biscuits and she's just very eager to go visit them. But, you know, for her, it's she knows she's going to work. She knows the word, she knows what happens. She knows what's expected of her. She does all those things, but it's not, you know, in some level, it's, you know, not a big deal. It's like, oh, this is fun. Let's go do this thing.
And obviously for you, it's much, much more.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, there's the relationship with my dog, which is, you know, pretty interesting and can be very intense, particularly in that setting, less so, you know, just at home. But in that setting, for sure, because I have to be able to trust her explicitly and implicitly, and she has to really be able to pay attention to me and understand kind of what's happening. And then there's, you know, the fact that as a writer, I spend a lot of time sitting home alone. And, you know, suddenly I'm in this setting where my job really is to be, you know, friendly and social and chatty and helpful. And that's a good thing. I think it's, you know, it's a reminder of really, you know, what we're supposed to be doing, which is, you know, being there for each other.
The name of the book is A Dog Walks Into a Nursing Home: Lessons in the Good Life from an Unlikely Teacher. It is published by Riverhead. Sue Halpern, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, A Dog Walks Into a Nursing Home, Lessons in the Good Life from an Unlikely Teacher. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.